Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. My dad, Pastor Salem, preached the Word of God and encouraged his viewers and listeners to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, honor Him, and have a personal relationship with Him. I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you could be with us today, and thank you for the notes and letters you send our way. From Florida, I continue to watch Pastor Salem's services. I can feel so down, and then I listen to his sermon, and I feel so much better. It sure lets me know our Savior is always with me. It builds my faith and gives me peace and comfort. From an inmate in California, I am currently serving a 27-year sentence in prison and in solitary confinement. This is where I first watched Christian Worship Hour and have been watching ever since. Your sermons are food for my spirit and have me laughing out loud at times, which I need. When I had my freedom, I was losing my soul and my spirit. And now that I lost my freedom, my faith in God is as strong as it's ever been. Watching you helps me continue to grow closer to God. Today's message, God's grace in my life, expresses the wonderful grace of God that manifests itself in God's people. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And now we've passed another week, and God has been with us on our way. Although I know that we'll be hearing from some who've gone on to glory this week, and we always pray for the folks that write in on that. But we're closer to heaven, one more week closer to heaven, and closer to the time when the Lord will return from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's going to happen one of these bright sunny days. So we just rejoice in that. But we hope that you're ready for that. Because if you don't have Jesus, if you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, you're not ready for His coming. It'll be a terrible experience. So we're going to have our little opening here, and then I'm going to talk about opening your heart to Jesus. And if you haven't done that, hope you do it in this service. But we're looking at Psalm 62, verses 4 to 8. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank You today that You are such a great and a wonderful God, and that You are all-powerful, and when we are in You, we have no fears. We just love You, Lord, and we just rejoice in You as we make this journey. And we just pray that when all we do and say will be an honor to Your name. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank is with us, and he's going to sing a song, Where No One Stands Alone. And God bless you, Hank.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low, in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, Your face from me. Like a king, I may live in a palace so tall, with great riches to call my own. But I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse when being alone. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day. Come here to the great unknown. Take my hand and let me stand where no one stands alone.
Well, thank you, Hank. And that's the good news of the gospel. You don't have to stand alone. There's somebody who'll stand with you. He'll stand with you in life and in death. And that person is Jesus Christ. And he's one that will stand closer than a brother. And you can have him if you want him. But you have to accept him. He won't come barging into your life. He's not a trespasser. He is one who is knocking at your door, but you have to open the door. He says in Revelation 3, verse 20, he's standing at the heart's door and he's knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So you ask him in. And if you ask him into your heart and into your life, he will come in and he will be there forever. 85 years ago, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, just a 10-year-old kid. And all I knew was, I dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and save me. That's all I knew. And then I was taught, you need to make him the Lord of your life. You need to make him the king of your life. If he's good enough to save your soul, he's good enough to lead you in life. And so then when you accept Jesus, you say, you'll make him the Lord of your life. You'll follow him the best you can. Oh, it's wonderful to walk with Jesus. I wouldn't walk alone. And there's going to be some hard days ahead of us for as we come to the end of the earth, end of the world, and you need somebody to save your soul. Well, we have some really good letters, and I always thank you for writing. And by the way, if you have your Bibles, in a few minutes we'll read from Acts chapter 4. But first I want to share some of these letters. And they just thrill us. We pray for these people that write in. And then we have a prayer team. And so many of these letters we give to the prayer team. They can't handle all of them, but we pick out some that really appeal. That seems like the Holy Spirit is saying, this one needs help. And so that's what we do. And we have over 40 people on our prayer team. And they'll be praying for you. And we just can move along and trust the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. And walk with him. Well, we're looking first of all from Minot, North Dakota. And this person writes, I've accepted the Lord in my life. I can feel him in my heart so many times. He has forgiven my sins and taken me into his arms. I now have cancer, such a horrible disease. Please pray for me over and over. I have to leave it to my Lord. I need your support. And your prayers. Please send information on some things you think I need. Thank you so much. And so now here's a lady. She's accepted Jesus. And right away she has the joy of the Lord in her heart. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just later on it'll come. Sometimes it's joy. Sometimes it's peace. Sometimes it's exhilaration. Sometimes it isn't anything. It's just a transaction where I ask Jesus to come into my heart. It's an agreement. It's a covenant. And this covenant, Jesus says, if you ask me into your heart to take away your sins, I'll come in. You ask me in, I'll come in. And you'll have everlasting life. It's a transaction. And you can do that. And I just hope and pray that you're doing that in a service today. Here's a letter from Newton, Iowa. as every week you preach the wonderful news of God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, you honor our Lord. Bring the lost to a saving knowledge and encourage the thrill of hearts of believers. We are your cheering section. We know because your faithfulness in telling God's truth and our donations, however small, brings God's message to millions. Keep on keeping on. And isn't that nice? So there you see you're a cheering section. And you cheer by praying, and you cheer by helping us financially. And, you know, we don't have any income except God's people. That's what we live by. And if that dries up, guess we'll go fishing or something. I don't know, because we won't have any money to get on the stations, and I know they're not going to give us the thousands of dollars of credit. And if they did, it'd be a bad loan, because, you know, 95 years old, there aren't a lot of people wanting to loan me anything at all, let alone thousands. And so you just got a cheering section, and you can help us. And I'm going to give the address in just a minute, so you just be thinking, now I'm going to help those people. God's laying it on your heart. I hope you lays good and heavy. All right, now here's a Gardner, Maine. It is a blessing to be a part of a ministry that works so hard to bring the gospel to people who are being denied the truth. My life was changed more than 40 years ago when I was able to hear about salvation while sitting in a prison cell. 40 years ago, think of it. At present, I'm still in a prison cell. It began in 1974 and continues to be where God has used me to do his work. Please pray. God will always use me no matter where I am. Now, isn't that, that's a beautiful letter. It's a sad letter, but listen to what he's saying. And this is something I've told it over and over. We get letters from so many prisoners. From one prison, we have 14 different people that have written to us. And we answer everyone that has a question, everyone who sent them literature. Well, now this is what he says, that he pray that God will use me no matter where I am. Now, you know, St. Paul was in prison. And what did he do in prison? Cry and complain and moan and groan? Oh, no. He told others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And some of the prisoners were saved, and some of these people who were chained to him were saved. And so when you're in prison, and here's this dear brother, and he can be a witness for Christ, he can be a special witness because he's right there, he's one of them, he can talk to them and tell them what Jesus has done for him. I just thrill when I hear that. Bloom where you're planted. And this is a brother, he's living for Jesus in a prison. Well, you won't always be there. Trump is going to sound, and you're going to leave that prison, and I'm going to leave this old broken leg of mine, and we're going to have a great time when we get to glory. Can't wait. Praise God. Here is Urbana, Missouri. I have asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me my sins and to save me. I've been going through bad depression and anxiety problems the last 2 years. Would you pray for me? Well, we prayed for them and him, and our prayer team prayed for him, and I'll tell you something else we did. We wrote to him. We sent him some literature. We got a little literature that we send that help those who that are having depression and those who have anxiety, and to help them to put their faith in Jesus. And so we're just glad we can minister to all these people. And when you send your gifts, you're helping us to do this. We sure can't pay this all out of our pocket. We got deep pockets, but not that deep. And so when you send gifts, you're helping with this ministry. God bless you. Here is Moore, Oklahoma. And listen to this letter. I'm happy to hear you're broadcasting shortwave to the secret Christians in communist North Korea. My wife is Korean. We've been married 40 years. I was saved in a Korean church in 1992. Continue preaching the Bible. I'm a deacon and Sunday school teacher in our Korean American church. My wife is an alto in the choir. God bless you all. This is a particularly important, interesting letter. It's because now I think just in the last few months, how many months ago, We are now on shortwave radio, and there is a new powerful station that reaches all of North Korea. And we are ministering to the dear people in North Korea. And how very few of them have television sets, but they all have shortwave radios. And Billy Graham says there's some a group that studied the suffering and the persecution of Christians, and they say that the worst place, the most hardest place in the world to be a Christian is North Korea. And we just thank God that He's opened the door, and we can preach to these people and tell them, "Hey, God is there. You may not see Him." It might like the disciples in the storm, and they thought they were going to go under. They thought Jesus was out there on the mountain praying. And all of a sudden, there He is right with them, walking with them. And in the darkest night, in the worst storm, He, Jesus Christ, is with you. And by His Spirit, He won't forsake you. And, oh, we just pray for you. And I know some of you have given your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that does? That encourages us. I know it does to me. It makes me want to be a better Christian when you have that kind of a witness. It blesses America and messes all of the other nations. Christians in other nations, when they see you stand for Jesus, stand to death. And I saw those men in Arabic say, "Jesus is Lord," and they took their heads. Oh, my God. And, you know, we pray for the persecuted church. Every week we pray for some different part of the world, for people in the world. And we're going to be praying this in our prayer today. We're going to pray for the persecuted church. But here's North Korea. So glad to hear from them. God bless them. Here's Beaverton, Oregon. I enjoy your ministry. I started watching with my wife. She passed away in May of 2015. I can't stop watching. I think you reach people that need Jesus, and I want to help. I'm making my first donation. Thank you, your brother in Christ. So here it is way out in Oregon, and his wife got him listening, and he probably, and I don't know anything about this story, but I think probably he was a guy like a lot of these husbands, and they're just like a bump on a log, and they won't go to church, and they won't listen to services, and they're just there. They sit, and they sit there all the way to hell, and here she's begged him to listen to watch this service, watch the Christian worship hour, and he got interested. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and his wife went on to home. Then her work was done. God took her home. Now he's watching. So, brother, we're just rejoicing. I can't wait to heaven to get to see some of you guys and see if I was off base on how you used to be before you accepted the Lord. I just rejoice in this, knowing the Lord. Here is Deer Lodge, Montana. Just wanted to thank you for your monthly teachings. I always look forward to them. And after I'm done, I send it to a friend to read as well. Even though I am in prison, I am free in Christ. Now, he's talking about the new song. And the new song, A Little Bible Study. In November, the new song talks about the ways to thank God. But there's a different Bible study each month. And it's written so laymen can understand it. I don't know any big theological words anyway. I knew one, I was pronouncing it wrong, my wife said, so I give that up. So we just talk so the children understand. So you don't get fancy. And so here he is. And when he's done, he's passing along to the other prisoners. Now, the new song is a little paper we put out every month. And it'll have a Bible study in it. It has excerpts from letters that we get from people. Has a sermon topics. Has a text. It is a wonderful little paper. And we send it free. We really ought to charge. Really ought to be a subscription rate. But we are such nice people that we send it free. And you just write to us, and we'll give the address. Get your pencil and paper ready. I'm going to read one more letter, then I'm going to tell you how you can get into the game. Here's the letter, Moorhead, Minnesota. In February of this year, my husband passed away. About 2 months before he died, we were listening to you on Sunday morning. He received Jesus and forgiveness of sins. One makes you cry, doesn't it? He received Jesus and forgiveness of sins. I pray for the Christian worship hour that many will come to receive Christ. All right, now here's how it works. We preach the gospel the best we can, and the Holy Spirit spreads all over the world, but it takes money to do it. So you get out your checkbook or whatever it is, and I send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour because we are dependent on you. If you don't send it, we don't get it. That's all. We don't get in for sales and sell books and all that kind of stuff. We just leave it with God's people. And for almost 40 years, God's provided for us. We've never been delinquent in our bills. And so you write to us, it's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then it's in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can send gifts over the internet. And we got one from Norway not just long ago. And we didn't get Norwegian money, we got American currency. And so you can put in whatever you want over there, put in buttons or whatever they'll take, and you send it, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay the bills, and we'll win souls. Now, here's a man accepted the Lord because we got the gospel to him. If it wouldn't have been for the Christian Worship Hour and your support and your prayers, this man would maybe never come to know Christ. And so we need your help. You need to stand by, and you need to help us. And what you have to do is just pray and ask God what you ought to give, and he'll tell you. And then will you write to us, we'll send you this little new song, and you'll enjoy that, I know. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, oh, I know, we'll send them money, and they'll go on up, they'll have a big party with it. And maybe I'll send $10, and they'll use $5 for themselves. Now, this is what we are. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That is an international organization. And they check the organizations. Billy Graham organization is a part of this group. Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. Not only what we get, but how do we spend it? Are we using it all for the gospel? And that's exactly our operating is low as you can't believe how low it is. I don't know, maybe 10%. I'm just guessing. I shouldn't do that. But it isn't very much. It all goes into the gospel. And so you just think about helping us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Those of you on the shortwave, I want to give it again because you can't see the screen. The rest can see the screen. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And we'll use it to the glory of God. Now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord lays it on your heart. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you for all of those over the years, for almost 40 years now, who have supported us. And a lot of us, many of them are in heaven, Lord. They're under their reward. But you always raise up new people, so now we're praying. You'll speak to the hearts of many, supplying all of our needs. We know you will, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Appreciate Jan been with so long helping us. It's all a ministry of love. And we have some men that will take care of all our equipment and do the recording. There they are. And they're volunteers giving their time to the Lord, faithful. And they sit through all of my sermons. I don't think they listen very good, and I don't blame them. And if I was running that thing, I don't know if I'd listen to the preacher either. But they're here. And we're getting the word out. Praise God. Well, we're reading from Acts chapter 4, starting with the 32nd verse. And this is after Pentecost. So the church has been born. The church has been brought into the world. And so this talks about this early church. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that ought, of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made among every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's the early church, when the church was first born. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story. What a beautiful story. This church, the church wasn't even in the Old Testament. They didn't know anything about it. It was a mystery until Pentecost. And then there it was, the bride of Christ. And that church is going to stand no matter how much the devil fights against it. And he fights against it constantly. But the gates of hell not going to prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. And someday the King of Kings is going to come and the body of Christ is going to be with him. And the church, the body of Christ, and we're going to rule and reign with him. And he's going to rule over the whole wide world. Oh, dear God, we can hardly wait. And so we just pray that we'll be faithful now and true to you and loyal to you and be active in our church and find a church where the gospel is preached, where the Bible is preached, and then give that our support and help us to be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in the Christian work. Lord, today we pray for the persecuted church. We pray for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. We just read a letter from some who were there. Lord, a lady that came from there. And oh God, I know that probably while we're having this service, some may be even being put to death. The hardest place, it's the worst hell on earth, is in North Korea. So dear God, we pray that you'll just help them to not lose faith, and I know they won't. Just stand by them and help them to know that you are right there. And even though they can't see you or touch you, you are there. And though it may seem that they don't see you at work like the children of Israel as they were slaves in Egypt, and they didn't think God even, you didn't even know you were there, and you said you heard them by cries all the time. You knew all about it. But you had a purpose and a reason for those slaves to do their work. And so now in North Korea and in other parts of the world, but especially North Korea, you have a purpose for your church, and your church is going to die for you if necessary. And oh, may we do the same thing if it comes to our door. Give us the grace to give our life for you. So we pray for our brothers and sisters wherever they are, but especially North Korea. Now, Lord, we pray for this service that all honor will go and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to help us. He's going to sing for us. This is my Father's world. God bless you, Hank.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sees and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere.
Well, thank you, Hank, and that's exactly right on. This is my Father's world. And the devil is the prince of the power of the air, but his days are numbered, and the day's going to come. He's going to be bound and cast into the lake of fire where he belongs, and all the angels with him. And that's the good news. Now, the bad news is all of those who don't have Jesus Christ are going to be cast into the lake with him. And you say, well, I sure don't want to be cast into the lake of fire. Well, I guess not. Well, then you say, well, how can I be sure? Can I be sure? Where do I sign up? Now, I'm going to tell you how you can be sure. You take Jesus Christ as your Savior. You ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. Tell him you're a sinner, a blackened old sinner. And he knows it, but he wants you to admit it. I am a sinner. And just ask Jesus then to come into your heart and take away your sin. And he'll take them all away. And like Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My dad used to raise sheep. And a sheep, their wool is all gray and matted and dirty. But when they're shorn right along their body, it's just as white and glistening and beautiful as snow. And that's what they talk about, sheep shearing time. And those shears, they'll roll back, and it's white and beautiful. Now, when you accept Jesus, ask Jesus to come into your heart. He says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, and he'll take away your sins. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the devil is cast into hell, you'll be safe in the keeping of Jesus. But if you don't, and I'm going to tell you, it's up to you. You can't get religion, you can't get salvation in your wife's name or your husband's name or your children's name. It's a personal thing, you personally. And Jesus Christ will never come into your life until you ask him in. I stand at the door and knock, he says. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, you open the door, I will come in. But if you don't open the door, you'll never have Jesus Christ, and you'll spend eternity in hell just as sure as I stand here. So you need to make it right. Now, if you do that, you write to us. I'm going to give you the address at the close of the service. You write to us, we'll send you literature and help you get started. But we're talking about grace. Last week, we talked about grace. We tried to define it. We tried to illustrate it a little bit. Now we wanted to talk about this wonderful grace and how that it makes a difference in our life. The apostle tells us that those people that born at Pentecost, there was grace there. He says in Acts chapter 4, 32 to 45, and he says, and the multitude of them believed were one soul. And then he says also, and he tells us, and great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all. That's the birth of the church. And so you have the plan of God then right here for advancing the wonderful kingdom of God. You have the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the grace of God. And by that combination, people are born into the kingdom, and they're born all the time. And I suspect that during our service today, as we offer the way of salvation, somewhere in the world, many places in the world, there'll be people praying the prayer of the penitent. And you say, I don't know what words to say. Just talk to him in your own language, in your own words. You don't need thee and thou and all of the rest of it. Just talk to Jesus. And I talked to a man not too long ago. He accepted Jesus. He didn't know anything about how to pray, but he just told Jesus he was a sinner. Asked him to come in his life and said, I'll serve you, I'll follow you the best I can. Then instead of saying amen, he said goodbye. So what? God knows the heart. Let him say goodbye. Let him say hallelujah. Who cares? Just so your heart is right with God. So there's this great grace. And so what does this grace do when it comes into our life? When we accept Jesus, how do we react? Well, for one thing, it makes us unselfish toward other people. The earliest days of the church, the grace of God was upon them, and it's shown through their unselfishness. It's shown of how that they, right at the beginning, they sold what they had and they pooled it and they gave it to the poor. And that's what Barnabas did. We read, for instance, and Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought it the money and sold it to the apostles' feet. Now, he had a little property on Cyprus, and just how he got that, I don't know. I've been to Cyprus. It's a beautiful country. They have a lot of grapes. As a matter of fact, they have road signs instead of watch for the deer and watch for the whatever. They have watch out slippery roads from grape juice. And so he had property there that was valuable property. Sold it all, gave it to them. And so this great grace made this possible. It makes us so that we think about others. We help other people. We love other people. We love our neighbor as ourselves. This grace was upon them all. And so then it consequently helps us because we have that great grace. It helps us to encourage others along the way. We begin to see the needs of other people. And as St. Paul puts it, we look on the things of others. We're mindful of those about us, and true grace overlooks the faults and failures and of other people around us, of the new Christian just coming to the Lord. Don't be so picky. Don't be so hard on them. Give them a chance. When they come to Jesus, they come with the baggage of the world. And so you help them. And what does he say? Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, he says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Now, he's not saying we excuse sins, but we make allowance for them. Here, there's a new person, he's coming, and he's been swearing like a butcher. Or I don't know if a butcher swear. If they cut themselves, maybe they do. I don't know. But he swears all the time. And he comes to the Lord, and he's born again. And then he stubs his toe, and he says a bad word. Well, you know, he's just growing. He's just coming. Give him time. Some of you have been Christian 50 years, and you're still not big old babies in the church. Grow up and give them some time to grow up. We need to learn that as parents, we show that grace. Provoke not your children to wrath. That is, be more understanding with the children. Give them a break and give them encouragement. And when they do their best, let them know it. And by the way, you children, there's something for you too. Obey your parents is what we're told. And he commands that we give honor our father and our mother and obey our parents. And so some of you children need to listen a little better and to do what my mother used to tell me. Oh, my mother was the making of me. Oh, my God, she was a wonderful Christian woman. And my mother used to say, I not only want obedience, I want prompt obedience. Yeah. And she had a stick. In those days, you could swat a kid. You could switch a kid. Now, the only switch in the house is a light switch. You'd never find another switch. Never hurt a kid. Never, don't touch them. And I'm telling you, they'll take them away from you. But you shouldn't abuse children. But you children, you ought to be halfway decent and act as best you can, see? And so this wonderful love of grace is with us. And it helps us so that we see people in need. And we help people, give them a helping hand. I read it not long ago about a young lady, and she was just hired as a secretary. And the guy told her all the duties that she had to do. And then he said, he's just a big shot, see? And he just thought he was the king of all kings. And so he says, now I'll tell you about myself, and so you'll know who you're working with. And so then he launched out on how he excelled in athletics in school. He was president of the class. He accomplished many things. He got awards. He got bonuses and blah, 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 blah. And pretty soon the young lady, she was sick and tired of him. She says, well, tell me, sir, have you ever taken a group photo taken of yourself? And that's just what he was, a group picture of himself. And when we get this, we think of other people. We talk about others. We encourage others. We bring blessing and we bring joy. Why not do that today? Help somebody out. Do something. Send a letter to somebody and tell them what you mean to them. Send a card, send a gift, give them a ring, give them on email, whatever, fax, whatever. I don't know, they got so much stuff now, you make your head spin. Half of us older people can't even read what you're sending us. Send us something we can read, for crying out loud. But tell somebody, let them get them on the phone, let them hear your voice, encourage them along life's way. That's what grace does. Grace makes us considerate of other people, too. Sometimes we can be so judgmental, we can be so critical, so demanding, so exacting. Just why, boy, we're just like those old Pharisees running around town. Well, grace tells us just be considerate of other people. Put yourself in their shoes. You don't know where they've been. You don't know where they came from. And especially new Christians as they come along, give them chance to grow. Just help them, let them come as they are, and then let them grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, don't try to clean up your life before you become a Christian. So I've talked to people who say, well, and if I join the church, I was a pastor 72 years, Lord have mercy, 72 years, and I'd have talked to people, well, I'll join your church, but I'm not going to be like some of your members, and some of them are hypocrites. Now, if they say there's hypocrites in the church, never argue the point. Don't argue the point. They're everywhere. I heard in the post office they were stealing, so they got hypocrites in the post office. Everybody's got hypocrites. And so they say, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm just going to be I'm going to clean myself up. Now, if you wait till you get yourself cleaned up, you'll end up in hell because you'll never get it done. Because you got an old nature, you need a new nature. You got that old nature and you're going to clean it up. And the more you work on it, the worse it gets. You know, the early pioneers, they used to have sod houses. And you know what the floor was made of? Dirt. Sod houses. I've seen them. And so here's this woman, and she's got a sod house with a dirt floor. And she says, oh my, I must clean my floor. So she gets soap and water and a big mop, and she starts mopping that dirt floor. And what she got, the more she mops, the worse it is. And that's the way it is with this old nature. And what you do, you don't clean it up. You just give it to Jesus, and he'll give you a new nature. And like somebody said, an old pastor says, God doesn't clean his fish till he catches them anyway. So when you become his child, then the Holy Spirit starts working on you. And you know something else? He's going to have to work on you all his life. And it's just like a person said, he had a bumper sticker. He says, don't get down on me. God isn't finished with me yet. And that's exactly right. I've been a Christian now. I've accepted the Lord. 95 years old, accepted the Lord when I was 10 years old. And God's still working on me, and I don't know why he doesn't give up. But he just won't give up. And he works and he works and he works. And I wish I could see. And if I live to be as old as Methuselah, he'd still be working on me. Because I'm going to tell you a little secret, friend. We're never going to find perfection in this life. It's impossible. Only perfect person was Jesus Christ, the holy, sinless Son of God. And he was God. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we have his spirit. And we have his life. And we have his love. And so we have that capacity, we have that ability to live a better life. And we strive for perfection, but that old nature's always with us, and it lets us down. And that's why don't ever give up, don't ever think that you're beyond the point where you can't sin. Ask one old pastor, when do you think you'd get to the point where you wouldn't sin anymore? And he said, probably 3 days before my funeral, something like that. We're all sinners saved by grace. Don't get so high and mighty, see? And so make allowances, help other people. And there, but by this wonderful grace, we can have that new nature, and we can build that new nature, and we can become more Christ-like, and we can become better salt, and we can become a better light, a brighter light. But it's all by the grace and the mercy of God that we do it. And as we submit and surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we have a hymn that goes like this. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. when grace is there, we will think of these people that are having their struggles, because we're having these struggles. And God tells us that we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So we are, if we have grace, we're going to help other people and help them along, take them through. And then perfect grace makes us forgive and to forget. We need to learn to forget people. And I'm going to tell you something I run into with a lot of people. We need to learn to forget ourselves, our own sins. We have something, we think back of something we did a long time ago or something we should have done. And we feel bad about it, and we agonize about it, and then we lay awake about it. And you know why we do that? Because the devil's pouring it on. God isn't. God says there's sins and iniquities I remember no more. It's all under the blood. It's all washed away. And we're worrying about it. We're fretting about it. And God says, I didn't know. Well, it was even there. It's gone. All gone. And so what we have to do is just do like Paul says. Paul says that he says, you know, and Paul had a terrible past. And Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what Paul is saying, all of those things of the past, I put them behind me. And I don't look at them anymore. I look at Jesus and I follow him. And so that's what we have to do. Forgive yourself and forgive other people. And the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ will help us to do that if we just submit to him. And so be sure, forgive yourself and forgive others. Just think about how the Lord Jesus, how much he's forgiven you. See how much grace he's given us. And sometimes, you know, God gives us grace, but we won't give anybody else grace. And that's not right either, is it? And so you have to just put your faith in Jesus and just learn and just work at it. And it's a lifelong battle, but grace will help us to do it. And you can't forgive others and put it behind you unless you have the help of God. You have to have Jesus helping you all the way. The great evangelist John Wesley was one time traveling with General James Oglethorpe. And Oglethorpe, the general, was mad at one of his subordinates. And the man came to the general and humbly asked for his forgiveness, whereupon Oglethorpe gruffly replied, "I never forgive." And John Wesley looked the general squarely in the eye, said, "Well, then I hope, sir, that you never sin. And as long as I sin, I've got to forgive. And so do you." And God says, you need to forgive and to forget and put it behind you and walk with Jesus. And then grace makes us successful for eternity. That is, there are things that is going to last that goes long beyond this world. It is not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit that we accomplish things that are eternal and things that are lasting. Daniel says that the work for God will shine as the stars in the sky forever. There'll be no ending to it. And after the stars are gone, God is there. And the work we've done for him is going to stand if it's done in grace and it's given in Christ's name. If we do it not for our own self-aggrandizement, but we give it because we love Jesus and Jesus loves us and we love others because we have that love and that grace, and so we share it. The stock market has dropped a few points, they tell me. Well, when the Lord Jesus returns, the stock won't just drop. It'll plummet. It'll disappear. It'll be no more. When the whole of this heaven and earth will pass away, but not the work of the Lord. And so when we put our faith and service in Jesus Christ, then we can have something that will last for eternity. So as we live out our Christian life, look to see what we can do to help other people. St. Paul admonishes Timothy. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. He says, I want you to model that grace. I want you to teach that grace. I want you to demonstrate that grace. Don't just talk about it. And because it's a thing that will stand when God's work is done through his word and through his spirit and his grace, that's all that's going to stand, but it will stand. May that grace fill our lives as we serve Christ and as we help other people. I read about that very thing happening. a police officer stopped a woman because her young daughter was riding in the car without a required booster seat. He could have written her a ticket. He could have given her a fine for that violation, but he said, I want you to drive over to that store right over there across the street. And she drove over there, and he went over there, and he promptly went in, and he personally paid for a car seat for that woman and gave it to her. That mother was going through some difficult times. She couldn't afford to buy a car seat, and here this policeman comes and he does that. And here's the point. The mother should have received a fine for her misdemeanor, but instead she got a gift. And that's what God is. We should have had hell, but instead he gave us heaven. And we won't forgive others, and we won't help others, and we won't go out our ways. That mother said, oh, I am going to, I'll never forget this. And down the road, I'm going to help somebody in the name of this gift. It will go on forever. It'll never cease. And that's what God wants us to do. I will be forever grateful, she said. As soon as I can afford it, I'm going to help somebody else. And so look what God has done for you. Look what others have done for you. Look what he's done for me. And so it's that wonderful grace. Put it in action. So here it is. We start in grace. We live in grace. We die in grace. For instance, we start in grace. We're saved by the grace of God. And we receive Jesus. And for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You couldn't buy a gift. If you bought it, it wouldn't be a gift. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, and it is free. And we start by grace, and then we are saved by that grace, and then we take this wonderful grace, and we live in that grace. And day by day, as long as we live in that grace, and we show that evidence more and more, and we look and we hard and try to find out, and we start with the wonderful grace, and look at this grace, and we try to share it with other people, and we look how we can help this person, how we can help that person, what we can do here. We just live in it. It isn't something we take at the birth of our soul, but it is something we practice all the time, and then we come and we die in grace. And when we die in grace, there is, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. My grace is sufficient, and I'll be with you. And I'll be with you to the end of the earth. And when you're done with this life, I'll take you home. Now, my friend, I wonder if you don't have that grace. Do you want that grace? And you're saying, oh, my God, I do. I need that grace. I want that grace, but I don't know how to get it. I'll tell you how you get it. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And only you can do that. And when he comes in, you just ask him, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll serve you. I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can, and thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful eternal life you've given me. That's the way you get it, and you don't get it any other way. People try so many things. They try baptism. They try good works. They try circumcision. They try you not kicking the dog. They try doing more good than bad. They try all of these things, and God shakes his head and he said, all your works are like filthy rags, filthy, dirty, stinking rags. And if you think you're going to drag them into heaven with your soul, you're never going to make it. You're going to be in hell just as sure as I stand here. And you have to have Jesus. Now, you could pray that, and I'm praying that you'll do that right now. And if you do, you write to us, and I'll give you the address. The address is the Christian Worship Hour, and it's Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. Or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. But those of you on shortwave, you get that now. We got Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, when you write to us, remember, we need your help. God knows we don't have enough to carry this thing on for 30 minutes. All of us put together, we couldn't get out of the building, I don't think. So you have to help us and say, dear God, should I put money? Do you want me to give your money to those people? And if he says yes, you say, how much? And he'll tell you, and don't fall over. Send it in, whatever he tells you. And then we'll carry on. People will be saved. Others will be helped. Now we want to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the multitudes that have opened their heart to Jesus right now. Bless them and help them as they make their start. Help them to get in the Gospel of John. Help them to write to us so we can help them. And dear God, we thank you that they're safe and safe for eternity. And then we want to pray, Lord, again for the dear Christian brothers and sisters in North Korea. Oh God, just help them to know that you are there and you love them. And then for those who are on beds of sickness and those who are in old age and those who are infirm and can't get out anymore and can't get around and nobody comes to see them and nobody talks to them and nobody calls them or writes to them, and there they sit day after day. Help them to know that you are right there and you neither slumber nor sleep, but you're right by their side, and help them just to lean on you, learning to lean on Jesus. Help him to do that. And dear God, we know that they'll find strength, they'll find help. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank all of you for opening up your rooms and your homes and taking us in. Hope you'll write to us now. We got the address for you there. And pray for us as we pray for you. And we just pray that you'll have a good week. Maybe this is the week the Lord will come. And won't that be something? And if you're not a Christian, you better get it straightened out, because after he comes, it's going to be tough sledding. So just ask Jesus. Trust Jesus. And next week we'll see you. Can't wait, but I guess we will. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.